Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the allnewhuntrealestate.com. And I was just in a meeting yesterday planning out the next phase of huntrealestate.com, which will be unveiling somewhere around the first of the year. And look for that. It's going to be a truly easier place for you to go for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, into Massachusetts, and also out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk at all, to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash because you have a mortgage commitment as opposed to a qualification or pre-qualification or whatever most lenders want to call it. It really doesn't mean much. A commitment means something, and when you walk in with a commitment, even if you're competing with a buyer in a multiple offer situation, even when you're competing with a buyer that says, on the contract it says cash, your mortgage commitment is just as good to that seller. It means exactly the same thing. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700 for a personalized, customized, what we like to call knock your socks off service, and check out that low rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in our community. Simply dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. The hotline will prompt you with the choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any of the brokers. Any listing. You drive by a sign, it's got a bunch of names and phone numbers all over it, and you can't tell what's going on. Just remember this number, 631-4800. Get the street number of the house. Everything else is automatic. Call that today. That's the Hunt Hotline. Hunt Real Estate is the official relocation and real estate provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. And the Bills better pick it up tomorrow. That's a sorry start to the season, but we'll see how they come out tomorrow with a new quarterback under the center there. This is broadcast live on WBEN 930 AM, and if you'd like to participate in today's show, all you have to do is call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls, and we even have a text version, which I'll give you the number in a little bit here if I can figure out how to do it, and those are all free calls, so call us with your thoughts or text us here in the studio. And we have a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is William Maggio. Mr. Maggio is the CEO of the Jacobs Institute here in Buffalo and also the managing partner for Lorraine Capital, an investment group. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Peter.
It's good to have you here.
It's a pleasure.
You were here a while ago, Bill. It's been over a year, believe it or not. And at that time, we had a long talk about what you were evolving into at the Jacobs Institute. Tell us a little bit about what the Jacobs Institute is and what makes it the special place I know it is.
Yeah, so the Jacobs Institute is was really founded by Dr. Nick Hopkins and Jerry Jacobs in the honor of Jerry's brother, Larry, who you know was a brilliant neurologist and physician here in Buffalo, and he was driven, had a tremendous passion for research, and had made some really remarkable discoveries in the late 70s and 80s, and the infrastructure to advance those discoveries didn't exist at that time in Buffalo, and I'm talking about clinical support, research support, investment, startup, the whole philosophy behind what a startup ecosystem is wasn't here. And unfortunately, a lot of those discoveries that he made were commercialized outside of Buffalo. And one in particular, a drug called Avonex, was developed by a small company at that time called Biogen. And I think we all know that Biogen is now one of the largest biotech companies in the world. And that discovery was one of the many platform therapies that led to its advancement to where it is today. So I think the whole objective behind the Jacobs Institute is to make sure that that never happens again, and that when we see innovation in this community, that we can help people take those discoveries to market right here in Western New York. We have a particular focus in the area of neurovascular and cardiovascular disease, and we advanced the development of the next generation of medical device technologies in those spaces right here in Buffalo, New York. So that's really what the Jacobs Institute is all about. We have a remarkable team of clinicians and engineers. We have a really, really special collaboration, obviously, with the University of Buffalo and Kalata Health. And the Jacobs Institute is sandwiched right between the UB Translational Research Center and the Kalata Health Gates Vascular Center right in the GVI on Ellicott Street.
I've heard many stories about, remarkable stories about people that have suffered strokes and other cardiovascular, and that's neurovascular, but cardiovascular episodes, and had incredible outcomes as a result of what goes on at the Jacobs Institute. Just tell us a story to elaborate a little bit on what goes on there.
Yeah, I as you know, I'm a big believer in collaboration, and I think it's something that we haven't seen enough of in our community over the last several decades. And we'll talk, I'm sure, more about that as our discussion progresses this morning. But the Jacobs Institute really doesn't have a whole lot to do with that. I mean, I think it's really the great clinicians, the University of Buffalo and Kalata Health. And, you know, just as a disclosure or a disclaimer here, I am the vice chairman of the board of Kalata Health. But I think, you know, the Gates Vascular Center, which is part of the Buffalo General Hospital, has really elevated itself as one of the premier neuro and cardiovascular care centers in the country. And I think as the months and quarters progress here, you're going to see that we are elevating ourselves in that profile. And we do some very, very unique things here in Buffalo that you don't see done in a lot of other markets. And the unfortunate reality is, you know, Peter, is we have a fairly unhealthy unhealthy community. I mean, we have on a national average basis, I mean, we have a higher incidence of stroke and hypertension and heart attacks here in Buffalo than, say, in comparison to other communities of our size. So we're lucky to have a resource like the Gates Vascular Center here in Buffalo. But the Jacobs Institute really is what we do is we bring the opportunity to force industry collaboration at the university and at the clinical setting. And as you know, industry is looking for that collaboration. It's critically important to them that they have those relationships to advance their discoveries. And the Jacobs Institute has put Buffalo on the map in that regard.
You know, it's interesting. You use the word collaboration, and I've had a chance to hear Nick Hopkins speak and also to talk with him one-on-one about that kind of thing. And I've used what he said, and I think you even referred to it at one session, which we're going to talk about in just a second, in terms of the release of a document called The Future of Medicine that was done by the Jacobs Institute. I think Nikki even refers to it more like collisions as opposed to collaboration.
That's
where
right.
Where the energy and the intellect of one person collides with another, and out of that an explosion of new thought arises. And this is something that I think many people in our community don't understand or haven't had a chance to witness. And it is, I don't know if it's unique, but it certainly is something that I hope we can, that kind of concept we can build on, which will produce some of the things you're talking about in terms of this term remarkable discoveries. Are there examples that you can think of in terms of how, for example, the university, Kalida, and the Jacobs Institute, how there's been a collision of things that have resulted in something?
Well, look, I think at the end of the day, all great... Well, first of all, collisions, and you're absolutely right. Nick talks about collisions all the time, and tangentially for a second. That's why that building was designed the way it was designed. That's why you have a facility that has the amazing infrastructure of a hospital, the really advancing level of expertise on the research side of the university, and you have sandwiched in between all that this not-for-profit, separate, independent organization called the Jacobs Institute, which is driving, advancing motivations of industry to want to collaborate in our community. So right then and there is an example of collisions, right? I mean, you have university researchers, you have hospital clinicians, you have industry experts, and engineers at the Jacobs Institute all working together in one facility, exchanging ideas, sharing stories about, you know, successful outcomes and not so successful outcomes. You have neurovascular guys working with cardiovascular guys to help them solve or resolve complex cases, sometimes right on the spot. I mean, you know, in the cath suites, it's very unusual the way that the JI is structured, where you have neurovascular and cardiovascular people working on the same floor together. That's what Nick's vision was. That's what Jerry Jacobs' vision was. And I would have to say, once everybody kind of set their individual agendas aside, which is understandable. I mean, everybody has institutional accountabilities and strategies. Once everybody's set that aside, over the course of the last couple of years, I mean, I've really seen the potential of these collisions really start to pay dividends. And at the end of the day, what we're seeing is better health care for our community.
Let's go back in Bill Maggio's history just for a little bit. You were CEO of a biomedical company. Mm. Talk a little bit about that and how you found yourself in the position you're in, just so people have a little perspective on the whole issue of the Jacobs Institute and your involvement.
Well, Peter, I mean, you know, I'm just a typical Buffalo journey, right? I started out as a salesman in the early 90s when graduating college. I working for a German company called Beringer Mannheim, calling on doctors, you know, and I developed at a very early age, very early on in my career, a passion for healthcare. I was never smart enough to go to medical school. I barely got out of college, as you know. But
leave that one aside.
Yeah, and I worked my way up, worked my way up slowly but surely. And over the course of the early years of my career, realized I wanted to be an entrepreneur and put myself in a position where in the early 2000s, I was able to acquire an interest in a company, a biotech company, a medical device company. And over the next several years, grew that company and right here in Western New York called IMCO Diagnostics. And we sold that business in 2014. So I built over those over that time an understanding and an appreciation for what it takes to build a device company, the strengths and weaknesses of our medical community from the perspective of an entrepreneur. And after selling IMCO, I made a decision that one of the things that I was going to be very committed to was, in some small way, helping to advance all the great work of the people like Dr. Hopkins and Jerry Jacobs and all those people who are really making sizable investments in our medical campus.
I've been communicating with our politicians over the years and trying to help understand.
Better you than me.
But I'm just trying to understand really what their thinking is and was in terms of the future of this community. And without exception in those conversations, somewhere along the line, there is the kind of the concept of a three-legged stool in terms of our growth of our economy, the waterfront, the Peace Bridge, and the medical campus. Mm. And at that point, going back to discussions with even Mayor Masiello, and early on in his, even before he was elected mayor, he spoke about the future of that. And if you recall at that point in time, it wasn't a particularly attractive place.
Yeah, you're going back to the Bufflink days, Ann Schwatta and Paul Harder.
Prior to Bufflink.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's been various iterations of the growth of that whole complex. And as you talk about how it's evolved in a collaborative way, where for a long time, as you know, there was terrible infighting. There was this medical complex versus that one, this group of doctors against that one, and competing over what were seemingly very limited resources. From what you know, where are we right now, and how did we kind of get there, even expanding beyond the Jacobs Institute, UB, and Clyda as individual entities, but how do we go from really what I saw as a fairly confusing mess, highly non-collaborative, to what we see today, which is a very modern, contemporary, sophisticated collection of, in many cases, very new buildings with lots of people our ability to attract top talent from around the world.
Yeah. So it's just not in healthcare. I think, you know, we've had an issue in our community where people just, you know, everybody has their agenda. And again, I'm not questioning whether it's right or wrong, but I mean, there has been, in my opinion, not a whole lot of collaboration at the levels where we need to see it. And But I can tell you, I do think that when it comes to healthcare, that we are starting to figure it out. You know, that everybody realizes they can't be all things to all people, right? And if you look at markets like Boston or Philadelphia or New York or Dallas or wherever, you know, there are pockets of expertise where everybody knows they need to go for that right kind of care. And I think we're starting to see that now. And you know, I'm not gonna take it below that line, but I do think that people, the leaders of those institutions that make up the healthcare infrastructure of our community, are beginning to recognize that. And I'm seeing, you know, putting my Kaleida governance hat on, I'm seeing that now across the various different entities within our community. It goes back to your commentary, though, about collisions and about collaboration. If we can get people to embrace the importance of those things, tide rises all ships. I mean, the only outcome is better care for our community. The only outcome is an expanding awareness regionally and nationally about, hey, why should we think about bringing our company to Buffalo and innovating? And that ties to, you know, my leadership at 43 North and my engagement with my wonderful partners at Lorain Capital, all about forcing people to think about how can we, you talk about your three-legged stool there. There's also the importance of getting people in this community to again believe that Buffalo can be a sustainable entrepreneurial engine in our region. And so it's a beautiful buildings, and again, to the point of collision, putting a medical school next to a children's hospital, next to a vascular center, next to a cancer care center, you can't help but see things improve, you know. And I say this all the time, great surgeons have great hands. They don't want to just operate, they want to invent. They want to be in an environment where they can take their industry to the next level.
If someone were to look at us in comparative sense to other communities around the country, let's take, for example, San Jose, San Francisco, that part of the world where you've got a place called Stanford. We're kind of late to the game of the collaborative environment that leads to commercialization of these remarkable discoveries that you're talking about. And that really is something that I think attracts a great deal of capital to our community, and you're involved in the investment community very deeply. But how do you see us evolving along those lines? Are we a place that is attractive to investors because of all the things you're talking about, these collisions, this collaborative effort, the remarkable discoveries?
Yeah, let's not forget about just how friendly this community is to live and to work. It's still fairly inexpensive. It's not nearly as competitive. And, you know, in a Silicon Valley or a Boston, I mean, the best of the best of the best of the best is out there. It's very, very competitive, you know. And you know, putting my 43 North hat on for a moment, you know, people ask me all the time, well, why do companies from Silicon Valley and why do companies from Boston apply to this business plan competition? Well, the reason they do is because it is competitive, you know.
Let's go to the issue of 43 North. You mentioned that, and I know, I don't know if you're still chairman, but you've been a leader in that organization. And what's its current status, and how are things going? Are they looking at, I'm sure they are looking at, and you're looking at, the kind of evolutions taking place on the medical campus and elsewhere. So how is that organization evolving?
43 North is doing great. I mean, I think it's been a wonderful addition to our community, and we've now, you know, we're creating hundreds of jobs. We've got our next competition is a month away. We've got 15 wonderful companies from all around North America coming to Buffalo to compete for, you know, $5 million in prizes. I think, setting aside, I mean, you really won't be able to measure our success for another 10 to 15 years. You can't predict what a company that's only a year old is going to do, you know, tomorrow. And a lot of people try to do that. I will tell you that I'm fairly confident that when the final chapter is written on 43 North, it's going to be one of several things, and a lot of those things we've talked about to this point, that has led to a sustainable resurgence in our community economically. So I'm very pleased about where it's at. And, you know, we have gotten better at focusing on industries that we think have the highest probability for success as a result of what Buffalo can offer: advanced manufacturing, healthcare, life sciences, you know, technology, so on and so forth. So yeah, we're really comfortable about where we are today, and I think that's why the governor and the state has doubled down, and we're going to be around for a while.
When we come back from the break, I'd like you to go back and take us to the beginning of 43 North and walk us through what that is. I think a lot of our listeners may have heard about it, maybe and read about it, but are not too sure exactly what it is. Because I want to loop back to the whole issue of the future of medicine and where all these things kind of intersect in the area of medicine, and then look at other investments that you're involved with. And for our listeners, if you'd like to text us here in the studio, you can reach us at 30930. You can text to 30930. And you can, as I've said before, call us here in the studio at 803-0930. And before we go to a break, I just want to let our listeners know that Hunt Real Estate is very happy to be a presenting sponsor for the Explore More second annual Incredible Hunt, which will take place Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018, starting at 5 p.m. at 500 Seneca Street. It's a fun app-based citywide scavenger hunt for grown-ups brought to you by the experts in play. Not only are we sponsoring, but my son Charlie and his wife Kelly are the co-chairs for this awesome event. Participation is open to groups of friends, family, or coworkers, or can register as part of a team with 4 to 5 individuals per car. Each team has a car captain who registers the group, recruits the participants, serves as the lead contact. And I'll tell you more about it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We're filling up quickly, so if you'd like to participate, you can register at www.incrediblehunt.org. And we'll be back with more from our house to yours after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. When it comes to the single biggest purchase of your life, it pays to shop around. If you think you've found the best rate available for your home loan, why not let us take a second look? We'll review your rates and your terms and try to see if we can do better. And just for giving us a shot, we'll give you a $50 gift card.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the always new huntrealestate.com, where everything is easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes, not just available here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate, and even through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and also into the Boston, Massachusetts market. And you'll also find back to a complete set of home ownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, which is always a good thing given our rather beautifully aged housing stock. Allows you to effectively buy the before but live the after. So call 633-3700, ask for details, and also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan. Only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And for those of you who would prefer to simply pick up the phone, you can call Hunt Real Estate ERA in our customer service center, 633-9400. And you can have your question answered directly by one of our professionals there, or you'll be directed to the appropriate professional for whatever you may need, including buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands, and it's the only one in the whole industry. We will sell your house, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. So stop into one of our open houses and ask about the SSP, the seller security plan, and how that guarantee can work for you. I'm in the studio today with William Maggio. Mr. Maggio is the CEO of the Jacobs Institute, managing partner of Lorraine Capital, and also the vice chairman of Kaleida Health. That's a lot of hats you're wearing there, Bill. We've been talking about the issue of, I guess, how we're evolving as a community and what kind of the key influences are and all that. And in my mind, a lot of this boils down to how we attract people and also how we attract capital. Michael Milken, before he went to prison, was the number one philanthropist in the United States. And he was interviewed in Forbes magazine. This goes back 30 years or more. And he was asked, what do you look at when you look at a company? And I want your thoughts on this, too, because it has to do with all the things we're talking about. And he said, we look at three things. We look at management, the people. We look at their capital situation, their ability to attract capital. And we look at systems. And I thought that was brilliant. I keep that in my mind at all times as I look at my own company and I look at other companies. Mm. You're involved in this, and you're involved from the research side at the Jacobs Institute. You're involved with the clinical side through Kaleida and obviously the collaboration with UB, et cetera. And you're also involved from the investment side through your investment entity. What do you look at, and what have you been doing?
Well, my partners at pretty much anybody who knows me, I'm not good at very many things, but you know, and I'm not Michael Milken, but certainly one of the things that's really important to me is the people, the management team. And if you talk to my partners at Lorraine, Justin Reich, Sammy Russo, Tony Ryder, those guys will tell you that, you know, that's really where I focus a lot of my attention on. When we were acquiring a company, I spent a lot of time understanding the management team. I think at the end of the day, you can have the greatest company in the world, the greatest idea in the world. You've got the right people running that business. Then you're going to struggle. I mean, and I know that firsthand. So whether it's 43 North, whether it's Jacobs Institute, whether it's the companies in the Lorraine Capital portfolio, the management team is the most important thing for me, and that's where I spend a lot of my attention. My partners, they're really, really good at figuring out, you know, the sustainability of the industry and the technology needs. Those are all really, really important things. I mean, especially technology today, as you know, businesses can take over a market overnight and you can fail just as fast. So those things are equally as important. But for me, you know, my strength has always been in identifying those characteristics which make great leaders, and that's really what I focus on at all levels.
Well, okay, then get specific. What makes a great leader?
I think, what makes a great leader? I mean, the leadership things to me that are important is, you know, people, you know, strong intuitive skills, right? Transparency is so critically important, you know, acknowledging when you make a mistake. How you manage through crisis, I think, speaks a lot about an individual, not only as a professional, but as a person in general. Those are the kinds of things that are most important at the end of the day. You can learn industry. You can understand how to read a financial statement. You can know your business well. But it's how you manage people. It's how you make decisions. The efficiency by which you make those decisions, which is most important to me. And it's pretty simple. You know, when you go into an organization, especially again in this day and age, I mean, you know, you look at again how fast industries are growing and evolving and failing. Your ability to be decisive and to have strong and to trust your intuition, I think, is one of the most important skill sets of a great leader.
Well, you've said a lot there, and I'd like to delve into each of these elements, but I'm afraid that would take about three more hours. Let's go back to what you're looking at. You've told us what you look at, but your entity, Lorraine Capital, you just bought a furniture business, for example.
I mean, that's right.
That's way away from the biomedical world. So, how do you find a company like that? And then, your part, you go and look at who's running it, et cetera, or who you might put in to run
sure.
it. But that seems far afield from some of the things that you seem to have your own personal expertise in.
Yeah, well, you know, I think again, it goes back to my comment about people. I mean, if you've got the right people, you can run any business. But you know, the whole premise behind or the whole mission of Lorraine Capital, you know, just stepping back for a second, one of the things that I observed while I was building IMCO Diagnostics here in Western New York was that far too often, and this was, again, I think a kind of a net result of some of the things we talked about earlier, but far too often I would see companies, private equity, VC, strategics come into our market, buy up customer lists, buy up IP, buy up technology, take that out of Buffalo and leave the jobs behind. And it was frustrating to me. And so the mission of Lorraine Capital is to identify really strong second and third generation legacy businesses and acquire those businesses and keep those jobs, those technologies right here in Western New York. And that's exactly what we've done primarily. We disclosed our ninth transaction, Bush Industries, which is a legacy business, been around for almost 100 years, a furniture manufacturing company with a very significant workforce in Jamestown and an expanding presence in China. We were up against a strategic that was looking to acquire that business. No predicting what they would have done, but I think we know the outcomes in a community like Jamestown over the course of the past several years. And our commitment was to buy that company and to keep those jobs and to grow that business right here in our region. And that's exactly what we do. But I can tell you one of the strongest selling points of that business, set aside their really remarkable growth over the last several years, is the management team. They got a phenomenal management team. And not only do they have a strong management team at the top, they got a lot of good up-and-comers in the business. So that's the profile that we're looking for. And then I leave it to my partners to figure out how we get the deals done. And they're the best of the best at doing that.
This comes back to this whole, what you're saying here comes back to what you were referring to earlier in terms of the implied and directly the cooperative role of the government through, say, their sponsorship of 43 North.
Sure.
And there's been a lot of talk about the Buffalo Billion, particularly now that we're in a political or election year. There's
sure.
going to be more talk about that and how it saved Western New York and on and on and on. And
right.
And I'm not we're going to lay it on any one thing. I think it's a, as you mentioned earlier, it's a collaboration of many, many things. But one of the things that we talk a lot about, or I don't talk about, I ask my guests about on the show is, and you've touched on it a little bit here, but how we take this momentum that we feel in our community and through things like the investment that your group has just made in a business here, how we take that momentum and build on it and then hopefully have a vision or some kind of concept of where this community can go. What are the key elements, besides people like you and your investment group and things like the medical campus, what kind of things do we have to do here to maintain that momentum? And then what are the obstacles from that continuing as well?
Yeah, so, we have, I think it's time for this community to let the next generation of leaders lead. There's a lot of really remarkable young people doing great things in this community that we don't know about. And I think there's a group of people who continue to think that they have the right to make all the decisions about mm-hmm. what happens here in Western New York. And there's a lot of people that they don't know who are out there just doing some pretty great stuff. And you maintain momentum by just keep doing the things that, are going to produce the kinds of results that we want, whether it's 43 North, whether it's Lorraine Capital, or whether it's what the University of Buffalo is doing, whatever it is, it's all about getting this community to believe, like I mentioned earlier, that we can be a entrepreneurial engine in our region. And 43 North, its basic mission was to convince people from no matter where they're coming from that they could start and build a business in Buffalo. That's just one piece of the puzzle. You have all the wonderful entrepreneurial things that the university is doing. You have Launch New York. You have the BNMC. You have a number of young investors who are looking at what Lorraine did and saying, why can't I do it? And what that's done, what the Jacobs Institute does, is it raises awareness. Investors see companies like Medtronic and Boston Scientific and Johnson & Johnson and Stryker saying, I think I need to be in Buffalo to advance innovation and discovery. Well, now who's paying attention? VCs and private equity firms that before never would have thought about Buffalo as a place to come and look at what's happening here from an innovative perspective. So I think, at the end of the day, especially in the startup world, Peter, it's all about momentum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a smart executive knows how to measure momentum and how to sustain it. All I'm saying is I think we've got now, there was just a story out, and I hate to quote numbers, but I think we're like in the top 5% of millennials as a percentage of population.
We talked about this last week with Dottie Gallagher. She gave us some numbers.
Yeah, she would be much more prepared to give you better numbers than me, but I see it, you know, in my involvement in the various different things that I'm engaged in the community. There are a lot of young people doing great stuff, like I said, and a lot of young people who want to come back here.
I was telling you last week about going to a restaurant for the first time in a long time in here in Buffalo, where just about everybody was very much younger than me, which I thought was a good thing because unfortunately I don't see it all that often. We'll be right back with more from our Austeers after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. When it comes to the single biggest purchase of your life, it pays to shop around. If you think you've found the best rate available for your home loan, why not let us take a second look? We'll review your rates and your terms and try to see if we can do better. And just for giving us a shot, we'll give you a $50 gift card.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new and continuously updating huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And I want to say Hunt Mortgage is one of the most innovative and really interesting places in the mortgage world today, and I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700. Just talk about your situation with one of our mortgage consultants, and let us design a program that will work for you in addition to the kind of the package programs we have, which are also quite innovative. And I know it may sound ridiculous to think of the mortgage market as a mortgage business as an innovative place, but it takes a lot of creativity to, in many cases, to find the right financing package for the right people so that they get the house they want or they can sell the house they want. And that's really what we're about at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. I'm in the studio today with Bill Maggio. Mr. Maggio is the CEO of the Jacobs Institute and also the managing partner at Lorraine Capital. And he's also the vice chairman of Clyda Health, certainly the largest healthcare system in our community. We were talking about momentum before the break, and I want to, before we get to that, we have a caller on the line, Bill. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Thank you very much. I just have a big picture question. Under biomedical drug research and commercialization is probably a big part of that, and I just was wondering if there are there's clear evidence about the relationship of increased use of drugs and decreased hospitalization, if that's quantifiable as general rule at this point.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a therapeutic guy, but I can tell you that we are seeing remarkable advancements in therapies, specifically in the area of cancer, the use of immunotherapies. And I guess I would answer this question just, you know, a little bit more broadly, whether it's from a surgical perspective or from the use of therapies. We are advancing, the process of simplifying things quickly in healthcare as a result of great therapeutic discoveries, the advancement of medical devices, programs that we have now in hospitals in terms of how we manage acute care. I would probably say that 90% of the procedures that were done in a hospital 20 years ago will be done on an outpatient basis in another, half a decade. It's creating a real challenge for those who lead these big brick and mortar institutions. But from a therapy's perspective, absolutely, I think that you could probably draw that. You can probably draw that conclusion. We're just able to do a lot more outside of the typical hospital infrastructure.
And yet we hear constantly that it's very difficult to get a drug therapy through the FDA and get something approved, and it's easier overseas, and the cost of it is much higher here than it is elsewhere. And I don't know how much of that is true, but it's something that every once in a while you turn the television on and you're watching, and there's all of a sudden a documentary attacking the this whole world that you're talking about here. And is that just news, or is it trying to create news, or is it a too narrow a view of what's really going on? What do you
think? The world still comes to this country to learn how to advance great discoveries in medicine.
Then why do they say that the medical care the outcomes are poor in this country? I mean, I can't believe this based on all the things we've been talking about.
Well, it depends. I guess it depends on from what perspective you're having that conversation, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I would suspect that there are certain demographics where that might be true. But all in all, and I'll speak against, strictly from the discovery perspective. The greatest medical discoveries in the world are happening here in this country. And, we don't have the most efficient federal systems, I think, as we all know. There are a lot of people trying to fix that. With that, unfortunately, comes the burden some of a slow process. I'm not going to knock healthcare in this country. Some of the brightest minds in the world come here because they want to practice medicine here. And again, speaking of collaboration, and a lot of times they go back off to where they came from and do great things. But I'm a big believer that it all starts here. And I would just say to people who say that, get sick in Europe or get sick in Asia, get sick in Central South America, and believe me, the first place you'll want to be is on the mainland here.
And it's for more reasons than medical care.
That's exactly right.
A lot of people, there's no place else in the world that has the attractiveness to more people outside of this country than the United States. No place else in the world. Yeah. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, no matter what happens in Washington.
Well, I will say this, and this will be the only political statement that I will make. I think we're a rich enough country where I think everybody who wants health care should have it. We should be able to figure that out.
And I think we should, and I think hopefully we are in any way, shape, or form. Right. But let's go back to our little piece of that beautiful country and the momentum issue that we were talking about earlier and how we maintain that. Last week, as I mentioned before, we had a conversation here in the studio with Dottie Gallagher-Cohen, and she obviously sees a part of our business world and perhaps a way that you and I don't. And one of the things that keeps cropping up, and I'm sure you have these discussions, whether they're overt or they're private or behind closed doors and just whispers, about our general business friendliness here in this state. And because upstate and downstate differ so dramatically, how disproportionately harmed we are because we're not New York City. And so we don't have that fundamental, basic international attractiveness in Syracuse that you have in New York City, for example. Mm-hmm. So the issue that we have focused on here, as we started to earlier, is the issue of maintaining our momentum and building on it. But many people argue that there's bogeys out there that we just aren't going to get around. A person like you, for example, that achieves a good deal of success here, and all of a sudden goes to see their accountant, and the accountant says, "Well, gee, Bill, you got to start protecting your assets here, and this is not a particularly good place to do that. Why don't you buy a condo down in Florida, change your residence, and you can come back and forth, keep your house in Buffalo, and all that stuff." But I hear this all the time, and so how do you see our evolving economic momentum, growth, financial strength? How do you see that continuing through the generations, as you talked about, the importance of addressing young people and keeping them involved? How do you see that happening when there's clearly evidence and reason for capital to flee the area after we attract it here?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question to answer, because there's absolutely nothing I can do to defend, the cost of doing business in New York State. Mm-hmm. Right? But I think, and if you look at a lot of the incentives that have been built around, supporting the startup ecosystem here, a lot of them neutralize a lot of those disadvantages we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But those aren't around forever, and you can't take advantage of those forever. I think I would answer that question by saying that you just have to be first of all, I think what the state has done, what they haven't done in the past, is they're focusing in areas where they know they can be successful, right, and that are most important. And I can go on in a long conversation about that, and this isn't the time. But I would say that the one way that we can combat that is to focus in areas that we know we're really, really strong in. We're getting really good in advanced manufacturing. We've got some really bright people who on the technology side. Life sciences, healthcare infrastructure is important. If we continue to double down on those investments, and you look at the Future of Medicine report, you look at why it's so important to have the medical school down in the city, these things to some degree, you know, we talked earlier, you said to me, why would someone not want to go to Silicon Valley, or why would someone not want to go to Boston? Well, you know,
I didn't say that. I just said we're behind. We're behind. Because that started a long time ago.
But I get asked that all the time, yeah, sure. Right? But, you know, you know, the one thing that I will say at the GVI, at the Gates Vascular Center and in the Jacobs Institute, we have some of the brightest clinical minds in the world here in Buffalo. So it doesn't matter that you're in Buffalo. People will come here and want to do business because that's where these people are. So if we can continue to bring those people in, and it goes back to what I said earlier about tapping into this next generation of leaders, there are some extraordinarily bright people doing great things in this community that align to what have been regional strengths for a long time, which have just been ignored. So I would say let's just keep doubling down on those areas and hope that the leaders to be at the state level will recognize that there are other ways to to manage what we do to create an entrepreneurial environment statewide.
You have been mentioning this throughout the show in terms of what we need to do to look who we need to look at in particular here in Western New York, and I'm sure that and what a part that plays in your decisions to make investments here, and also your mission in terms of the kind of companies you're looking at, and the importance of keeping what you can here in this community.
And my partner Richard Joy deserves a lot of credit for the evolution of that mission too. I would be remiss not to mention that. But yeah, I'm sorry.
Richard's position as a young man in this community is symbolic of what you're saying, and our ability to keep people like Richard here in our community is critically important. And this is what weighs on my mind. I have children Richard's age, and it's important that all of us do all we can to create the best environment we can for them to stay here and prosper. And this is something that, for all the reasons you said, and I just wonder how you can, and obviously we try to make this as exciting a place as we possibly can, but just elaborate for our next minute here or so on how you personally want to continue to do that.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there are two things that are really, really important to me as I look at, you know, the last third of my career here in Western New York. And one is collaboration. I have no time anymore for agenda. I really don't. If I don't see a genuine willingness to collaborate and whoever I'm speaking to, I really have no interest in advancing that conversation, because I really believe that collaboration is what's ultimately going to help sustain the momentum that we're talking about. And the second thing is I want to identify who those up-and-coming leaders are in this community. The 40-year-old, maybe early 50s, people who are just doing really, really great things, who are creating wealth, and who, for the lack of just being unaware of how to get engaged, aren't transferring their knowledge and their abilities as great leaders and as wealth creators to making this community better. That's where I'm going to continue to focus my time and my energy, around those kinds of people and situations.
Unfortunately, we have to leave it there, but I think that's a very good note to leave this show with. And that is that it's all about the future, in my opinion. And you know, we can lament about the past and all the stupid decisions that been made politically in every other way, including choice of our quarterback for any given Sunday. Mm. But there's nothing we can do about it. All we can do is move ahead. And I want to thank you, Bill, for the part you play in that whole process. And I want to thank you for being with us here today this morning, Bill Maggio, the CEO of the Jacobs Institute and managing partner at Lorraine Capital. Thank you for being with us.
Peter, it's a real pleasure. Thank you. All the best.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.